Pep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for waiting until Saturday morning. And then at this point, like, you probably should have subscribed all season. Like,
yeah, you waited until, but hey, better late than never.
Yeah, if this is your first episode being a subscriber, like, thanks. Appreciate it. That laugh you hear belongs to our producer, Tiny V&A Moreno. I did the wrong way. Dang it. There she is. Other way. Tiny V&A. Hi, Tiny V&A.
Hello, everyone.
This is the final episode of Tep and Step. This is your final look at V&A for the Texas football season.
2024. You're not going to see any of us.
Nope.
The rest of the year.
Yep.
It's sad. Saturday state is bittersweet because it's usually a great day of football, but it's the last day of football.
It is.
Guys.
You'll have to wait until January to hear our take on who Paradise hired. Mm-hmm. But this is your Saturday state championship preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football subscriber. It's time for the final three games of the Texas high school football season. Kicking things off 11 a.m. Saturday morning at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is the 5A Division I state championship game between two very new, very anonymous, I can't even remember if they've ever won a game before.
New kids on the block.
New kids on the block. It's the Highland Park Scots with 900 career wins in their program history, taking on the Smithson Valley Rangers. And it is probably, I don't want to see if I say it. Certainly Highland Park is one of the teams of record in DFW. Like historically over the long arc of history they are the team of record in DFW. And is Smithson Valley in San Antonio?
I would say right now for sure.
For sure, yeah. I mean, they've only been open since the 70s.
Yeah, historically, probably not, obviously, but I think right now, for sure. Here's my question for you. Has there ever been a state championship game played between two coaches who combined their wins? You'd be hard-pressed to find a state title game with two coaches who have won it. I mean, because Randy Allen and Larry Hill, there's 700 wins. I don't have any wins.
I've got the number. Okay. You want it?
Yeah.
784.
I can't imagine a state title game. Maybe when Allen played Alito, but
they played Buchanan. Buchanan only had like 200 and something wins.
Yeah. These two guys have been at it for a long time and been really successful for a long time.
I don't know if they're, I can't say this for all UIL Texas high school football games, but I can tell you for a certainty because I looked it up. This is the winningest game in state championship history.
There you go.
These two coaches know what they're doing. Randy Allen, of course, a multiple time state champion. For Larry Hill, this is the one thing missing in an otherwise Hall of Fame career. The state championship is the last thing on the checklist.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same things we said about Coach Reggie Samples before he finally won one. I think he was 0-4 in state championship games as well. Now, Larry Hill hasn't lost in the heartbreaking fashion that Samples did at times, but he's 0-4 in title games. And Randy Allen is, I believe, 4-2 in state championship games as a head coach.
So here's – let's start with Smithson Valley because I think, honestly, when you take a look at this Smithson Valley team, it's going to be easy to make the comp to last year's ball club, of course, which made a state championship game themselves. Here's the difference that I think I see in this Smithson Valley team. One, I don't think they are as explosive and have the outside playmakers that they had last year, specifically with Freddie DeBose.
Correct.
But they might be better holistically just because they're more experienced. The offensive line is a little bit better. The defense is like incrementally better.
I think defense is a lot better. They are really good defensively.
They've kind of leveled the whole team up this year, which is probably why they're here and continuing to roll.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch them last week against Angleton, and they really smushed Angleton. The key guy here for me, and one of the most unique players in the state, is quarterback, defensive back Cade Spradley. You do not see a guy at the 5A Division I level play quarterback and do the things he does at quarterback. And the guy's got 100 tackles on defense. Like, he's not a bit player on defense. He's out there most of the time. Like, when they want to give him a break, they give him a break on offense. They put in number two, I can't think of his name, at quarterback, and he'll get two or three series in each half on offense because they want Spradling out there on the defensive side of the ball. It's really unique. You don't see it very often in today's football, especially in class, the state's second largest classification.
He's special. They, of course, can run that. Like, okay, if you've never seen a Smithson Valley game, let me tell you how their offense is going to go. They're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Daniel DeHoyos,
and Cade Spradley. Yeah.
And they are going to lean on you. And lean on you. And B, I made my in my picks video, I made one of my keys Smithson Valley's patience. If it's not working early, they're like, we're good. And this year, because of that defense, it holds them in games that it allows the offense to get its traction and wears teams down. Mm-hmm. I think if you go to Larry Hill, he might tell you this is the platonic ideal of his of a football team to him.
It's his perfect football team. I think the key for them, like you said, is this game and this matchup, and we'll talk about Highland Park in a minute. The key for Smithson Valley is going to be they can't get down early.
Yes. Actually, what's interesting, because last year in this spot, Smithson Valley was playing Aledo, and this looked like from the outset. Go check the tape. We were like, this is not a good matchup for Smithson Valley. This is a poor matchup for Smithson Valley. I think this is a better matchup for them. Specifically, I don't think they will have to deal with big explosive playmakers like Aledo had last year. Mm-hmm. But what they will have to deal with is a player that I am officially upgrading to dog warning.
Oh, okay.
Sound the alarms. Buck Randall, the sophomore quarterback for Highland Park. We are checking the tape and we are examining whether or not he has that dog in him because we're getting close to making the declaration.
I mean, when you're the first sophomore to start at Highland Park since Matthew Stafford, you got something cooking for you. Like this Highland Park offense, I like this Highland Park defense more. Mm-hmm. This is a twitchy, athletic defense for the Highland Park Scots. They fly around. They're fast. They got playmakers. They're good at all three levels, and you know they're going to be sound. They're going to execute the game plan.
And they were great last week against Highland Park, or against Denton Ryan. And what's interesting about that game is you made the point in the semi, and I'm just going to call you out for your stupidity from last week. You mentioned you thought Ryan was going to get in their heavy package and run it at him. And they did. And Highland Park had stomach for the fight.
Yeah.
And
they
had
a lot better job against it this week.
They had to go away from it and ended up throwing the ball a little bit more. If this was a week ago, I'd say like Smithson Valley probably has an advantage, but now I think Highland Park has shown, hey, if you want to line it up and run it, you like we'll bow up and come up with it. This is a fascinating ball game, and this is a game where the first 10 minutes are going to tell us a lot because there's two things. One, you mentioned Smithson Valley's got to play from ahead. They are not built to chase.
No.
Plain and simple. They have to play from ahead. And two, on the other side, for Highland Park, for 2 weeks in a row, the sophomore quarterback, Buck Randall, has given the ball away, okay? And he will make a ding-dong sophomore mistake on you. That's sure. Just the natural thing. Eventually, he settles in, and he gets better as the game goes on. Can Smithson Valley pounce early? That's the thing. I think the first 10 minutes are critical, especially for Smithson Valley. Mm-hmm. I think they need to lead going into the second quarter.
At least be tied. Yeah.
Be in the game. If they fall down 14-0, it's just hard to see how they come back.
Agree.
I like Highland Park. I think that their defense has got stomach for the fight. And I think that the quarterback puts them a little bit over the top here in this one. This game is tough to call, though. It's a strange matchup.
It's a Spider-Man meme. They're very much alike in a lot of ways, stylistically, in the way they play football, and the coaching resumes and the pedigrees, other than the state championships.
Yes.
I think this is Larry Hill's shot to get a state championship.
I think it is.
I don't know if they don't win this one, I don't know if he gets one. He's closer to the end of his career than the beginning, obviously. I think, and a lot of times in those past state championship losses, like two of them were to Southlake Carroll, one was to Aledo, one was to Denton Ryan. I think in all four, they were pretty heavy underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're an underdog, but not a heavy underdog in this
one.
I think this is their, if Smithson Valley is going to get one for San Antonio, it's this week.
The computer
about has Highland Park.
The computer has Smithson Valley by four.
Interesting. Okay.
The computer is very impressed with their dominance, and especially the game that really turned the computer and really bolstered them was when they drilled Edinburgh Vela, and then when they drilled Flower Bluff.
Yeah,
those are the games that really impressed the computer. So it's a really interesting ball game, and we'll find out. It'll kick off Saturday. We move to 3:00. 3:00 Saturday afternoon. At AT&T Stadium in Arlington, it is the 6A Division II State Championship game between the Southlake Carroll Dragons at 15-0, taking on the Vandegrift Vipers out of Leander ISD in Austin at 14-1. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really know where to start in this one. It is another strange matchup where I think both teams feel like, yeah, of course this is our time. Look at what we've done, and kind of in different ways. For Vandegrift, I think in Summer Creek, that is a signature win.
I feel like Vandegrift all year, considering what they lost last year. So the Vandegrift story, I think, starts 2 years ago. They get to the state championship game, lose to DeSoto pretty significantly, and we're like, okay, 2023 is the year for Vandegrift.
Mm-hmm.
They bring a lot back. They added it. They hired. They got a couple of pieces that moved in, and Division I type players that moved in, and they just rock through the regular season and go 10-0. Mm-hmm. And they draw Lake Travis. They go Division I in a surprise move. They go Division I. Draw Lake Travis in the first round of the playoffs, and they get the dreaded 10-1. All those seniors graduate, and so we're all like, okay, rebuilding year for Vandegrift. They're going to be good, but they're going to be going through some growing pains, and they're here. And last week against Summer Creek, I was at this game, and they got down 14-0, and Drew Sanders' ball club didn't panic. They made plays. They climbed back in the game. Once they were in the game, they never let off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled out an impressive win. This is just a solid ball club. They're not going to wow you. They're not going to. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They do all the little things well. And when they need to make a play, Miles Teodecki, the quarterback, just finds a way. He's just a guy who just makes plays.
He's just a ball playing dude, man. Yeah. He just makes big time throws. They have a real stud, I think, at the defensive end spot in Deshaun Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Who's probably like their best overall player. But this is just a workmanlike, greater than the sum of their parts type team.
They got some big physical receivers, and they got this sophomore, Gavin Coaster, who had a kickoff return for a touchdown. You want to talk about a kid who's got the juice? That kid's got juice.
And they're taking on another team in Southlake Carroll that had star power. They at one point did. They still have some, but we've talked about it for a couple of weeks now. They're wounded. They are on running back number 3, and their top two running backs, two FBS running backs, are out for the year.
Yeah, the job Riley Dodge has done with this team to reinvent themselves on the fly has been really impressive. The defense last week was the story in that game. They held Boosie Washington in that prolific Longview running attack to less than 4 yards a carry. They had a huge stand in the fourth quarter. They stopped Longview on downs on four downs, got the ball, drove down, kicked the game-winning field goal to win. A real rock fight against Longview 20-17. The key for Southlake, I think, is going to be, what do they have left in the tank? This is a team that's been pushed to the limit a couple times. They got guys who are playing more than they probably should. They brought guys in, and they've moved guys around to try to just make it work. Do they have 48 more minutes left in the tank? Because this is a Vandegrift team, I think, that is peaking at the right time. Southlake has been finding a way. Can they find a way again?
Angelo Renda, the quarterback, has stepped up in a huge way. They have got absolute dogs out there. Brock Boyd, their wide receiver, monster on the outside.
Yeah. Continue the tradition of great Boyd wide receivers at Southlake.
I have waffled on this pick a couple of times. First of all, I think that the Vandegrift defense offensive line against the Vandegrift defensive front. Is that right? Yeah. Or no, the other way around.
Carroll offensive line.
The Vandegrift offensive line against the Southlake Carroll defensive front with Jack Van Dorsalier is a really interesting matchup. Can they pressure Miles Teodecki? The Vandegrift front was up to the challenge against a really good Summer Creek front last week. Can they do it again? The other thing I will say is that this is, I think there are some plays to be made against this this Vandegrift defense. I think we saw it last week, Summer
sure.
Creek.
They had now, trouble with the running quarterback. You know, yeah. Blake Thomas had a big game for Summer Creek.
Mm-hmm. That is one thing I'm keeping an eye on, is can the Vandegrift team hold them in it? I actually think this is kind of high scoring, kind of back and forth. I've waffled on this pick. I think I'm done doubting Southlake Carroll and just that metal to find a way through. They probably should have been dead to rights against Guyer. Like, based on who they don't have, they should have lost to Guyer and they should have lost to Longview. And they did.
Yeah. They found a way through.
What do they call it? Like Dragon Magic? I don't know. I'm
tradition,
buying them.
Dragon tradition.
Yeah. The tradition never dies, or protect the tradition. That's what they say.
Yeah, there you go.
I think they do it. I think Southlake Carroll's going to win it. I think it's close. I think it's a fascinating ball, really interesting ball game. We'll have a first time state champion head coach there, well, either Riley Dodge or Drew Sanders. Fascinating. Who are you on?
I'm going to go Carroll. I think it's going to be a very close game. I also believe we're going to get like a 30. I think this could be the most entertaining game of the day on Saturday. I think we could get a 42-38, 38-35 kind of game. But I'm going to go with the Dragons, and Riley Dodge gets his first state title as a head coach.
We rounded out with the final game of the Texas high school football season. 7 o'clock Saturday night at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is the 6A Division I state championship game. The Columbus and Malakoff we talked about was the Intercontinental Championship. This is the World Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
It is the North Crowley Panthers against the Westlake Chaparrals. And I think for both of them, you can say, oh my God, they did it.
Yeah, I think both these teams are coming into this game off of emotional, cathartic wins in the state semifinals. You start with North Crowley. They slayed the Dragon. They got past Duncanville. What an atmosphere at Allen that was on Saturday. And there was 20,000 people in the building for that game. Just a huge atmosphere. And North Crowley, Chris Jimerson, Quentin Gibson, Cornelius Warren, that offense did enough to get past Duncanville. They stole a possession with an onside kick, and their defense found a way to slow. They didn't stop the Duncanville offense, but they slowed them down enough and eventually came out with the two-point win, 36-34. Westlake, on the other hand, gets their get back on North Shore. That series, since 2020, they've played four times in the state semifinals. They're 2-2. 2-2. But each team has a close win, and now each team has a blowout win in the series. And last week was the blowout win. In shocking fashion, Westlake goes to Katy, goes into North Shore's backyard, punches them in the face, takes their lunch money, and then kicks dirt on them while they're on the ground. A dominant 30, and then stole their girlfriend afterwards. A dominant 35-10 win for Westlake. And the key in this game was Tony Salazar's defense, particularly their defensive line, kicked North Shore's butt up and down the field. North Shore's offensive line was totally overmatched. And then you throw in Elliot Shaper, the linebacker. What an unbelievable player he is. In my opinion, the best defensive player in the state of Texas is the Austin Westlake linebacker.
So I was on the call of this game with Craig Way. And when I tell you that this was a game planning and coaching masterclass from Tony Salazar, their game plan was perfect. It was perfect. And they were getting pressure with four. And then when they weren't getting pressure with four, they were picking the right time to send someone else. And that was remarkable. They took a super hyper athletic, hyper talented North Shore attack, star studded, and they put him in the mud.
Yeah, they smothered him. Yeah.
They smothered. It was remarkable. And what they did was athletic. And also, I think Reese Wise, their quarterback, played the best game of his career.
He was that North Shore secondary, no doubt.
The numbers are not going to wow you, but he made play after play after play when they needed most, whether it was running or throwing. He was perfect in that ball game. And now you get the two big questions in this one. Like, to me, the two big questions. One, can Westlake's defense do it again?
Yeah.
Can Westlake go up against an offense that is star-studded, absolutely loaded with playmakers all over the field, and do the same thing they did to North Shore? Can they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing for me, because that's the money matchup.
Yes.
The other question.
That's good on good right there.
Oh, my God. The other question. Who can reload? Last week you saw Tony Salazar nearly in tears last week. You saw Ray Gates in actual tears last week. This was, you mentioned it, cathartic for both those teams. Last week they had that game circled for a year.
Sure.
For a year. And now you have 7 days to play the biggest game of your career.
Yeah, got to do it again.
Who can reload?
That's the thing, especially in 6A Division I, is every week it's such a grind. And it's almost over. The finish line's in sight, but you got 48 minutes against the best team, the best team you're going to play all year. It's going to be a fascinating. I think the difference here, North Crowley and North Shore, very similar. They profile very similarly. D1 guys all over the place. North Crowley's probably a little bit deeper at running back. North Shore's deeper at receiver. Mm-hmm. They both have playmakers at all levels. The big difference here for me, North Crowley has a better offensive line. Mm-hmm. North Shore's got a good offensive line. North Crowley has an elite offensive line. Henry Finucu, the Missouri commit. Mm-hmm. John Turrentine III, the five-star junior. Ian Carter. This is an elite North Crowley offensive line with at least three Division I prospects on it, one Division I signee. I think that's the difference here. I think they can handle – Westlake's going to have to bring pressure more often and bring more numbers. I don't think they're going to handle North Crowley bringing four. I think they're going to have to bring more numbers, and then that exposes their secondary, which I think – we'll have trouble with Quentin Gibson and the North Crowley receivers. And then Cornelius Warren, they got him involved in the passing game last week. You get him involved in the passing game, now you can't personnel them at all, and they become a real matchup problem. So I think that's the difference. The chess match between the Westlake defense, the North Crowley offense, you know, you got a wizard in Tony Salazar. Eli Reinhart, North Crowley's offensive coordinator, is a wizard as well. It's going to be a fascinating matchup. Excited to see it. This is big time stuff here to close out the Texas high school football season.
I know I'm on an island on the staff, but I'm on Westlake. And the reason is twofold. One, I think I've just been convinced about the defense. I think I'm just convinced. Like, what they did last week was so impressive to me.
It's kind of similar to me with Kilgore. It's defense that's convinced me. And I think
it is
convincing with you.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other thing, and this is a small thing, but it's huge. Westlake kicked North Shore's rear end six ways from Sunday on special teams last week. And if this game is close, and it's up to be clear, it's up to the Westlake defense to make sure it is close. If it's close, Westlake might have the best special teams in the state. And that is going to be a big difference. I think that could be a small thing that's a big difference maker. I'm going with Westlake. I've got another game I've gone back and forth on. I could absolutely. The other thing is, here's the thing though. There's a chance, like if North Crowley diagnoses Westlake and they are able to protect Chris Jimerson, and they're able to run the ball a little bit, I will know after two drives who if Westlake can win this game. Because if North Crowley starts carving them up, I'm not sure Westlake's offense has the juice to keep. In fact, I know they don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They are a team. They scored 35 points last week, and that was like perfect for them. Okay. Yeah. They are not built to play in the 40s. So this is a fascinating way to close out the Texas high school football season there at AT&T Stadium. And after that, I'm going to pass out.
Yes. We're going to sleep really good Saturday night.
We're
going to sleep great. So we'll be sad when the Texas high school. I'll be a little sad on Sunday because it's a work day for me and I won't have any work to do.
Tough. Yes. We will have Texas football today on Monday to at noon to tie you over. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Tiny V&A Moreno for being our producer all year. Bye. Thanks, V&A.
Bye,
thanks, Tiny V&A.
Bye, V&A. Hey, do we want to talk just get the newbies that we will have off-season Tepid Steps?
Oh, yeah. We'll have we got a monthly Tepid Steps starting in January, so you can stay tuned to your feed. We'll have those bad boys out for you
once a month.
We had a lot of fun stuff in the off-season, so stick with us.
Yes, we do.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks, Step. Thanks for your courage.
Thanks for a great 2024. Just want to say thank you to V&A Moreno.
Thanks, V&A.
We are so happy to have her on the podcast. Yeah. She's been a great addition. She's done nothing but make this podcast better. So thank you, V.
Tiny V&A. We'll see you in Arlington on Tep and Step. I just walked all over her response.
Perfect. Just said thank you for having me.
Okay, bye.
Bye, V.
Bye. Happy stay.